That's our religion. Make love, not war, baby. That's right. My goodness, we got a bunch of live wire leaders. I don't know. We got to get give them some pills from now on. Well, every time they do this little thing, it's so great, and then they leave me about 3 minutes to share, and you know I can never share in 3 minutes, so I'll try for six. It is really good to have all of you tonight. Thank you for coming this evening to our new location, and make sure you tell your friends, get some cards out there in the information table, and take them home with you and tell all your friends about it. Bring them here. We'd love to have them Friday nights. A lot of you have seen this little card that we hand out. This is the card I'm talking about. I made sure that mine got all wrinkled and worn. I wish I could do it with all of them, but it took me a while to master this. Left it in my pocket for a year, and when I pulled it out, that's what it looked like, that nice, worn, tattered look. My wife asked me the other day, where'd you get that ugly card? She said, what happened to the really nice one I had on the table I was going to give to somebody? I said, well, this is cooler, honey. It's tattered on the edge. And anyway, some of you know at the top we have a little slogan on our website, on our posters that you handed out if you saw one, and then on this card entitled, Want God, Not Religion. And a lot of people have told me, Mark, I'm really intrigued by that. I like it. It interests me. But what does it mean and why did you put it there? And so I thought it would be apropos if, in order to start our new location here at The Rock, that I just do a series on this and explain the reason and explain why this is not your normal church, why we're not really into religion, and why we're more about God than we are into religion. So what I want to do for a moment is I want to ask you to think for just a moment. What do you think about when you think the word religion? Most of us here were exposed in some way to probably some type of religion. It might have been growing up. It might have been sitting in some pews. We had those taken out last week, by the way, just for those of you that have bad memories. And it trips little triggers. You know how you get little triggers when you walk into certain rooms? Whenever I walk into a room with pews, I get like a cold chill up and down my spine. I really do. I just, you know, I've learned as I've gotten older, I can tolerate them a little more. I can deal with them. But I remember going to church, because when I was a kid, church was a building. I didn't understand church was the people. Nobody ever explained that. And the people certainly didn't act like what I've come to understand the church is. And so we'd come to this building, and you'd walk in, and it had these really uncomfortable things, benches. And everyone called them pews. And I came to understand later that they stink. That's why they call them pews. They're uncomfortable. I'm just saying this is my experience. You may have really liked them. Where you went, the kneeling thing, the standing thing, or whatever it was you did, maybe that worked for you. But the pews, they didn't work for me. And so what I did, the thing I liked about the pews was the pencil behind the pews. And I used to take the pencil. My mom wasn't looking. And all the little forms that you're supposed to fill out, you know, put your money in. And I draw on them. And draw on them. And then I stick them in the songbooks. Or the Bibles, you know. And just fill the Bibles, all my little stick drawings. I can't tell how many times I got pinched in the pew. That's kind of the old-fashioned way of dealing with an unruly child sitting in a pew. Pinch him, like on the arm. Oh. And then if you said, ow, you got another pinch. Because you weren't supposed to talk out loud in church, in the building. The bottom line is that most people's exposure to religion has emptied out church in America. Let me give you just a little overview of what the reality is in the United States today. 65% of my parents' age, 65% of them go to church on a regular basis. Of their children, that's me, baby boomers, 35% of them go to church. Of those that were my youngest brother's age, Gen X, 16% of them go to church. Of those that are my children's age and younger, millennials, the Facebook generation, 4% of them go to church. Religion hasn't done it for people. Why? Well, I wrote down some interesting words today, and I really don't mean to be offensive. What I mean to be is honest. Now, if my honesty is offensive, I am sorry for that. And maybe, in your opinion, Your situation was different. So I'm not speaking to that. I'm speaking to the 96% of your age group that walked away from religion. There are reasons why. These are the words that came to mind for me. Stale, boring, burdensome, meaningless, empty traditions, trying so hard to do something, but never quite measuring up. Whether it was catechism or penance or all the things you're supposed to do in order to be pious and spiritual. You try and you try and you try, you just never measured up. But then I thought of these three words, and I think these three words really sum up what I think so many people's experience was with religion. Guilt, obligation, and hypocrisy. You see that everywhere. One of the reasons I say these things is because you may not realize this, but again, this is my business to know this. About 40%, 45% of the Twin Cities, the population would say they're Lutherans. And about another 40, 45% would say they're Catholics. And most of them that I've met over the years have called themselves recovering Catholics. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is because the religious exposure that most people had left them wanting. It left them feeling guilt-ridden. It left them feeling obligated, but never feeling like they could meet those obligations. And for many people, and again, this has been my experience myself and the countless conversations I've had literally with thousands of people, there's just so much hypocrisy. There's some people talk about loving their neighbors themselves, but it never happened. People would talk about all these religious obligations. I mean, what is more hypocritical than going out during the week, sleeping with your girlfriend, getting drunk, and then it all is better because you show up on Saturday night, because you don't want to get up on Sunday morning, to go to Mass, go in the confession booth, say 20 Hail Marys, and it's all taken care of. And then you just go back through the week and you do the same thing again. Or you see how many people after the service are fighting to get out to the parking lot to get to their cars and get home, and nobody remembers what happened at church except they were bored. Or maybe they networked with a few people. Maybe they made a few business contacts. If I've heard this kind of story once, I have heard them 1,000 times and I have witnessed them myself. So the reason we put this on your card is because what we're trying to do at The Rock, and we're not the only church, there are other churches, gatherings of Christians that are trying to do the same thing in the city, is we want people to understand that God has gotten associated with all of these bad memories. And it's not true. It's not who God is. People long for something deep, something lasting, something exciting, something meaningful, something passionate, something inspiring. And that's what God is about. God is passionate. God is life. God is exciting. God is full of love. God has an extraordinary plan for your life, and God is personally interested in every single one of you. God doesn't just love the world as a collective, but God sees each and every individual life. Each and every individual life has been custom made by God. I'd like to read you a passage from the Bible in Psalm 139. And again, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that's okay. That's part of why you come to The Rock. We'll help you become familiar with what it really says. And I think you'll be surprised. But the Bible says in Psalm 139, O Lord, you examine my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You know my every thought from far away. You chart the path ahead of me and you tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know where I'm going to stay, even before I say it, Lord. You both precede me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too extraordinary for me. too great for me to even grasp. I can never escape from you. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness I cannot hide from you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous and how I know it. You watched me while I was being formed in utter seclusion and as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out. This is phenomenal. Now, you may be here tonight and you may not yet. You may not yet, and I'll explain this in the weeks to come. You may not have yet come to a personal relationship with God. And you may even be sitting here tonight, and I welcome you here, in fact. I hope that we have people that come to the rock that still do not yet grasp that God made you. You are not the product of an explosion. You did not evolve from a blob or from a pond or from an ape. You were custom made by God. You were knit together by God in your mother's womb. God picked your eyes. He picked out the color of your hair. God had everything planned and He watched you. He watched as a miracle was unfolding in your mother's womb. And He brought you into this world. And He brought you into this world for one reason and one reason alone. That He might love on you, that He might draw you into a relationship with Him that would last forever. You know, it's interesting how much people long for relationships. I'll use this as an illustration. I am not really a Facebook guy, but I'm called a Facebook stalker. I have a friend who loaned me their password and their account. And so I sneak around out there in the Facebook world and I'm watching you. So I see, I go to this person, and I see their friends, I click on there, and I go here, and I go there, and I go there. I usually devote, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours a day. And as I go to your sites, and as I go to your site, just so you know, I do the sign of the cross and I pray for you. Especially depending on what some of your photos look like. That's right. And what you might be holding in your hand at that party. Mark knows. I'm joking. Sort of. But here's the interesting thing. You know, now, I don't know a lot about Facebook. You know, I'm just an old grandpa. By the way, John holding my little granddaughter, that was one of my little grandchildren. If you want to be real spiritual, have 4 children, have them get married, and start having grandchildren. I don't think anybody else here has done that yet, so here I am, right here. Me. Okay. So one day you'll be a baby daddy and a granddaddy and all that kind of stuff, okay? But anyway. But what I understand about Facebook is this. Just about everybody writes, I think there's a section called looking for friendship, 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 friendship. Just about every page I go to. And then, of course, there's the guys or the girls that's interest, men, interest, women. I'm watching you guys. I just want you to know. I'm noticing that a lot of you didn't put God. He just put man, woman. But that's okay because it's a natural inclination that God gave us is a desire for a relationship because God made us in the image of Christ. See, we've been made in the image of God. God longs for relationship. We long for relationship. But I want you to imagine this for a moment. Imagine that the only friends you had were on your computer screen. That's it. No real human beings in your life. Imagine a marriage that was only on Facebook. That wouldn't be very exciting. From a guy who's been married 31 years, let me tell you, I'd rather have the real fleshy, mushy thing than the computer thing. It's a lot better to have the real thing, my wife with me day in and day out than to just have a computer screen to look at. And we write a few little quick notes to each other. That's really deep. I'm not saying I'm against Facebook. I'm just using it as an illustration. People long for friendship. But deep in the heart of every single man and woman is a longing that God has put for a connection to the divine. Religion, you see, is man's attempt to create some kind of system by which we can please God. The problem is we can't. The problem is we can't. I'd like to read you a couple passages from the Bible. And again, I will explain this to you as the weeks go on. But it's very important that you understand. The first is found in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been right, we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith in Christ, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand and we are confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing God's glory. First thing I want you to notice there is that we have peace with God. We're made right by God, not because of what we've done, not because of all the religious obligations that we fulfilled, but because of Christ, because of what Christ did. You see, God longs for a relationship with us, but we don't have that relationship through religious duties. We enter into that relationship with God through a person who's still alive today. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ made this way for us to have this intimate, tremendous bond between us and God. The Bible says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still at our worst. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we have been restored to this right relationship, we can now rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. God longs for you to be His friend. And many, many people want God to be their friend. There's no greater thing in the world to have God as your very best friend. God longs for this. God desires this. And God is not partial to one person over another. He's not partial to this person or this race or rich or poor, male or female, young and old. It doesn't matter to God. He loves every single human being that He created. And He longs for a relationship with us. I'd like to read one last passage of Scripture and comment on it before we close. In Ephesians chapter 1, we find this. Long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for His wonderful kindness that He poured out on us because we belong to His dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins have been forgiven. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. You know, it's interesting how many movies we watch. I think of Lord of the Rings, and you get this giant story that unfolds, and you get the long, long time ago, and you get all this mystery. Or I think about Star Wars and how you have the galaxies and all the story unfolds. You're part of the greatest story there is, and it's reality. There's this divine being, God, the Creator. And billions of years ago, before the earth was ever made, God had you in His mind. God knew your name. God knew the exact time. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, the exact time and the exact place that you would be born. And He brought you about at a specific time in history that you would have the best possible chance to come to know Him and have a relationship with Him. And all the things that He's done throughout your life was to set you up to have the best chance to come to Him, though He will not make the choice for you. And He draws, and He draws, and He works in your heart, and He works in your life, and He works through your circumstances. For some people, God knew that until they incurred a sufficient amount of pain, they would not wake up to the reality of their own brokenness and their neediness for God. And so some people, He allowed them to be in a very broken home, where that very process ended up bringing them to the understanding, I need something more. I want God. And when they began to understand that God wanted them and His family, that God could be the Father they never had, they come to Christ. Many of us here, we recognize how flawed we really are. We see that we're flawed. And it's almost unimaginable for us to imagine what it would be like to never have to go to bed again feeling guilty or feeling bad. And know that the person who actually sees everything, I can't see everything on Facebook, I can see hardly anything. Most people, you have to be a special friend and you can't even see their stuff. God sees it all. God sees my thoughts. God knows my actions. God knows my deeds. He's seen them all. And yet, because of Christ, He loves me and He's forgiven me. And it's not an issue. It's all paid for. And we can stand before God in highest privilege without any condemnation. Totally blameless and without any fault in the eyes of God. That's extraordinary. I mean, I don't even stand that way with friends, human beings that say they love me. I'm still flawed in their eyes, but not with God. God listens to our prayers. God walks with us through every circumstance of life. When we come to Jesus Christ, when we embrace God and open up our heart to Him, He comes and He lives inside of us. We are the temple of God. And whatever we go through in life, He goes with us. Every circumstance, every situation, He is the ultimate great provider. He is the best friend you'll ever have. He's the lover of your soul. On your worst possible days, God is still as passionate about you as He ever was on your best day. Because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on Him and His infinite love and His infinite mercy and His infinite grace that He pours out on any who will embrace Him. This is why we say, want God, not religion. I know that if the world we live in, if millions and millions of people could hear these types of messages, they could understand this, more and more people would begin to embrace this God. He is the one true God. Jesus Christ revealed to us the one true God. There has never been another. There will never be another. And I hope that as we go on through this series, next week, we're going to talk about how then do I get started, Mark? How do I get started in my relationship with God? And how can I come to know Him in a deeper and a greater way? That's what the next weeks are going to be about. I want to invite you back for this series. We're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer, and I'm going to have Jeremy come up and lead us in a song, one of my favorite. It's entitled, Oh How He Loves Us. And then we'll go downstairs and get some great food. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your extraordinary mercy, Your extraordinary love. And Lord, every time we do this song, it's for me, it's just an anthem. It's just an anthem, just an extraordinary reminder of how much You love every single one of us. The love of God is the most extraordinary thing in all the universe. When we really ponder, Lord, if we're really honest, when we ponder the world we live in, the ugliness of the human race, the vileness, the betrayal, the lies, the immoral behavior, the selfishness that dwells inside of every single one of us. It's just amazing to me, Lord. Every day of my life, when I look in the mirror, I'm amazed that You love me. And I'm so grateful, Lord, to know the one true living God. My prayer and my desire is that each and every person here would come to know you, Lord, in these weeks to come in a very personal and meaningful way. I just ask you, Lord, that you would touch us as we sing this song. In Jesus' name, amen.